Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Look here in Matthew 26. I'm going to start reading at verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter had answered and said unto them, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. You have allowed me to preach your word. And Lord, I surely need your help. My voice, I don't know what's going on with it, but you do. But Lord, I just pray that you'd help me, that you would help me to be a blessing, be able to preach, to be clear, that people would be able to learn from it. I pray that you'd use it for your glory and your honor. Lord, thank you for Mark filling in to help with singing. Lord, thank you for the young people taking up the offering. What a blessing. And special music and the piano that's being played and people singing. Lord, it was such a blessing to hear congregation singing today. But Lord, we just need you. And I pray for your help. And we ask that Jesus, in your precious name, amen. So this morning I'll be preaching on the weakness of the flesh. The weakness of the flesh. We read this portion of Scripture. This is right after the Last Supper. So you think about it, as the Lord had these disciples there, he told Judas that Judas would betray him. And then afterwards, you know, as we know, Judas went out and ultimately get things set up, and he was getting ready to go, you know, to get 70 and be ultimately would betray our Lord. And after that supper was done, we see the instructions, right? So in verse 30, you see that, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So here it is, one of the things, if you read the book of John, chapter 15, 16, 17, you could see it was kind of like the last instructions they received after that Last Supper, before he went off, and we know that he prayed, and then ultimately Judas betrayed him. So he tells them this, right? After that Last Supper, he gives them these instructions, verse 31 down to verse 35, of what was going to happen. And what was it that he told them? He says, all of you are going to be offended of me tonight. Or you're going to be offended of me, was that day, that night going into early hours. But he said, you're going to be offended of me. Imagine being one of the disciples that are there, that are listening to this. But if you also look at what he said, he told him that he was going to die. He knew it, right? He told him that he was going to die. And he told him ahead of time, you know, how he would die, the cross. But that's what he's speaking of in these verses. He also told him a wonderful thing. Think about as believers, what we have, no one else has. We have a living Savior, a resurrected Savior. He's alive and well. All these false gods that are out there, their prophets are all dead and in the ground. We serve a risen Savior. And if you think about what he told him, that's what he was telling him. But after I am risen again, right? He told him that, yes, he was going to die, what he was going to go through. But he also told him that he was going to be raised from the dead. And then the last part of it, he tells them, I go before you into Galilee. He reminded them or informed them that after I raise from the dead, I'm going to meet you. I'll meet you in Galilee. Now, when you think about those words that were there, and again, I mean, that's verse 31, verse 32, you know, yes, they should have had sorrow of heart, knowing that he was going to die, because they didn't understand everything. That's why in John chapter 13, at the end, when he tells them that he was going to die, in John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because of what he just told them, right? He was going to die on the cross. But here, when he tells them this, it wasn't that part of it. It wasn't the excitement of thinking, whoa, he's going to pay for our sins. He's going to rise from the dead. It wasn't the excitement of, yes, I know what he has to go through, and I'm not looking forward to that, but I know we're going to see him again, right, before you into Galilee. It wasn't those words. What was it that got? It was the words of what he said, all of you shall be offended of me this night. He told them. And when he said these words, the reality is, that's what hit home. And what hit home to Peter was that pride that was there. Pride. Peter in his mind was thinking, that ain't possible. How is that possible? Matter of fact, Peter told him, you'll find that in the book of Luke 22, verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. In Peter's mind, there was no way he was going to be offended, as in to leave the Lord, to forsake him. Peter told him, he's like, Lord, I will go with you to prison. I will die with you. That's what Peter said, right? I believe in my heart, Peter really meant those words. Did you ever have someone, a lot of times you think about in our culture, when you go by someone, you see how you look at them, you'll say something like, hey, how are you doing, right? A lot of times when people say, hey, how are you doing, they really don't want to know, right?
True.
A lot of times people just say, how are you doing? It was just like, hey, you know? Because if you start telling me, right, hopefully I wouldn't do it, but there's people out there, it's kind of like you're telling me, it's like, what are you doing, right? I was just saying, how are you doing, right? And they don't mean that. Sometimes in life, people say things and they really don't mean it. I really believe Peter meant this. I believe in his heart he meant it. He wasn't like, he's like, everyone else may do this, Lord, but I'm not. You know, he was serious. He really meant this. That was in Peter's mind. That's what he was going to do. Look what the Bible says over here into verse, was it 47? So this is a little bit later on, right? That same night, right? Look here at verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Well, can I tell you, God did not see him as an enemy. He loved Judas. Matter of fact, when you think about that Last Supper, he told him that there'd be one to betray. And before that, in John, I think it's chapter 12, 13, maybe 13, that he washed his feet and reminded them that one of you is not clean. Because remember, Peter said, about washing his feet. He says, Lord, don't do that. And he says, well, if I don't wash you, you're not clean. And Peter's like, whoa, then wash me, right? My head, my hands, my feet. Well, I think he said the head and feet that's there. He says, but if I washed you, you're clean. He said, but not all. You know, he gave Judas another chance to accept him as his Savior, but he rejected. So anyway, calls him a friend. When God says something, he means it. Even though he knew he was his enemy. Do you know when God came to save us, when he came here, the reality is we were enemies of God. He didn't come here because we were righteous. He came here because we were sinners. I mean, God looks at us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. And here it is when he says that, friend, wherefore art thou come? He meant that, right? That he was a friend. He knew why he came, because he told him ahead of time. He wanted Judas to be confronted with what he's doing. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou not that I cannot pray unto my Father, and shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Think about it. What was he saying? You think about anything Jesus said, right? He could have just spoke the word that was there. He's like 12 legions. He said, if I wanted to, I could have called angels and angels would, you know, destroy them. There was times in the Old Testament, there was an angel of the Lord that would go by and just wipe people out. You know, can you imagine what 12 legions of angels could have done? But the reality is, he came here to be our Savior. And that's what he was saying here. And look down here at verse 56. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. As what he just told them hours ago is being fulfilled, they fled. They left. Matter of fact, if you keep on reading, I think it's down at verse 69. The Bible says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came to him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I know not the man. And after a while came unto him that they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. And began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. What happened? What happened? Just hours ago, Peter was like, Lord, I will die with you. I will go to prison. You know, the fellow disciples, they may betray you, but not me. And then hours later, confronted. He couldn't even stand up to a maid. Other scriptures refer to as a maid. A maid. He couldn't even stand up to for the Lord. For a lady that was here. I mean, you would think that he could have. As a matter of fact, he didn't want to fit in with them, that he was willing to even cuss. Start to curse. He wanted to fit in with the crowd. Oh, can I tell you, there's a lot of people today, you think about peer pressure. We'll do whatever to fit in with the crowd. You know, God doesn't want us to, quote unquote, fit in with the crowd. If you're going to be a Christian and live for God, the truth of the matter is, you're going to stand out as a sore thumb. You're going to be looked at as a particular people. People are going to look at you and say, hey, there's something different with you. And the reality is, try to live for God, you will stand out. You know, everyone will be like, hey, we're going to go watch this movie, and it's some bad movie. It's like, well, I'm not going to do that. And you're going to have peer pressure, right, to try to get you to do those things. And here it is, Peter gave in. He was offended. He denied the Lord. As a matter of fact, he wanted to fit in with the crowd. A few hours ago, he did mean business. What happened? Can I tell you the weakness of the flesh? The weakness of the flesh. It was later on after Jesus told him that, he told Peter, he says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can I tell you, I want you to understand, every single person that's in this room, if you are truly born again, you still have a flesh, and your flesh, if you're in the flesh, you can do some dumb stuff. You can get to the place where in your heart you can never deny the Lord because you truly know Him. But you can just lie and say, no, I'm not, right? Well, that's not me, right? Or you could try to fit in with the crowd. Why? Because of your flesh. Look what the Bible says back here to chapter 16. Peter was a believer. Peter wasn't lost. He was saved. Go back to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew 16. Am I still okay? You can still hear me? I sound okay? All right. Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, if you look at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Isaiah, other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Here's the greatest question that will be ever asked to you. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Miss Alma, it doesn't matter what others think. What is it that you believe? You know? Joe, it doesn't matter what others think. What do you truly believe? And that's what he was asking to Peter. It's, you know, there was there, or there's disciples that were there, and Peter responded, right? And all the disciples like, well, some of them think you're John the Baptist, and some think this prophet or another prophet. And then he said, "But whom do ye think?" You know what? You know what matters? What matters is what you believe. Your parents may be Christians, but them being Christians does not mean you're going to heaven. You may say, someone will say, "What are you?" Well, my mom and dad are Christians. Well, that's not going to get you to heaven. My grandma and grandpa are Christians. That's great, but that's not going to get you to heaven, right? My brother is a Christian. That's not going to get you to heaven, right? What do you believe? Who is he? And look here what Peter said in verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But Peter knew in his heart who he was. That thou art the Christ, that thou art the Messiah, that thou art the anointed one. That you are the one that will pay for my sins. That you are the Son of the living God. Capitalized, saying that you are deity, God in the flesh. Peter knew it. Peter was a believer. Peter was with our Lord in his earthly ministry, was a part of his earthly ministry. Peter was one of the 12 disciples who ultimately become an apostle and is greatly used by God. Peter was, you think about when Peter was there, he was used by God, the feeding of the 5,000 men besides women and children. He fed them too. And the 4,000. And other, I mean, Peter was there. Peter was the one that had enough faith to get out of the boat and to walk. Peter was there. And then we read in Matthew 26 how he denied him. How he was offended. I want you to understand the weakness of that flesh. You're saved. And the reality is you have a flesh and a weakness. I want you to see a couple things that will help us with this weakness of our flesh. Go back to Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, look down here, verse 40 and 41. The weakness of our flesh. What should we do? Well, look here in Matthew 26. Verse 40 and 41. In Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41. "And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I want you to understand the first thing is the importance of prayer, of praying. Sometimes I think we take prayer maybe for granted. Maybe sometimes we just pray and we're not really thinking about a prayer. I can't read your brains and everything that's there. But the truth of the matter is we need prayer. We need to pray. Mark, my flesh is weak, just weak. And I'm not saying that because I'm not saved. I'm not saying that because I'm not in the Spirit. I'm not saying that. I just know the reality is this. My flesh is weak. My sin nature If I allowed my sin nature to go, can I tell you, I could do some stupid stuff. I need to pray. Folks, can I tell you, if you forget about the importance of prayer or spending when you get up in the morning and spending time with God before you go to work, before you start your day, and really pray, don't be surprised that you give in to the weakness of your flesh. Now, Mark, at the same time, just because you spend time in prayer doesn't mean that your flesh still won't get the best of you. But the reality is, we still need to spend time in prayer. At least that way we're going to start off right. And we need to stay in prayer. But I want you to understand, the weakness of our flesh, I will fail God. Can I tell you, I try my best. I do. I try my best to live for God. I do. Every single day I try my best. I still fail Him. You know? You know why it is? It's my flesh, my sin nature. There's times that my sin nature will get the best of me. Folks, I need to recognize and realize that I have a sin nature and the weakness of my sin nature. Look what the Bible says over here to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. My flesh is not strong enough to win these battles. Your flesh is not strong enough to win these battles. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I need to pray throughout the day. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look what he says here in verse 11 and 12. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they're written for our moderation, upon whom the ends of the world are come, right? God is talking about the scriptures, was recorded there that we can learn from it, right? That's why it's important to read it, study it, know it, apply the Old Testament examples, even the New Testament examples to your life. But look what he says here in verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I'm going to be able to do it this time, Bob. You know, I'm stronger now. And I can handle it. You know, I can do this on my own. Take heed. You know, yeah. I think the devil, he just will sit back when we get that way and say, I can do this on my own. I don't need any help. I can get it done. I think he just sits there and probably laughs at us. And he says, oh, this is going to be easy, you know. The next thing you know, he throws that dart down and it hits us. And what is it? We fall, right? What happened? That weakness of flesh. Here it is. God is warning us and wants us to recognize the weakness of your flesh. Are you so prideful that you think, nope, I wouldn't do that? Are you so prideful to think, yep, I'm just like Peter. You know, God said it, but I don't believe it. Here it is. He's saying, take heed. Don't be foolish. Don't think that you can't, right? Every single person that's in this room, you have a sin nature. If you're truly born again, everyone has a sin nature, but if you're truly born again, yes, you have the Holy Spirit, but you can do dumb stuff. But you need to recognize. You need to be willing to recognize that you have a flesh, but you need to realize, I need to pray. That verse that most of us probably know by heart, I could do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, right? But somehow I can do it. But it's through Him. I need to rely on Him. I need Him to help me, right? With God's help, I don't have to give in to the flesh. But I need to pray and say, Lord, please help me. I need your strength today. I need your power. I need your help. I need to hedge around me. Amen. Last night, as we were having problems with our shower, and I went in there and looked at it, took it apart. You know what I did? I prayed, because I'm not a plumber, right? I think it's pretty interesting, the plumbing and stuff like that, but I'm not a plumber. I'm not a handyman. But I prayed. Do you know why? Because, Chris, I know I have a sin nature. And when that wasn't going to work out, my sin nature could have acted up and I could have took a tool and threw it, right? And did something stupid, right?
start yelling, right? Next thing you know, I come out and my dog's in the corner, my wife and my kids are in the corner, right? That's there. I prayed. You may say, well, have you ever done that? No, because I pray, right? Folks, can I tell you, we need to recognize the weakness of our flesh. Our Lord told Peter the importance of praying. I want you to think of the second thing is the importance of walking in the Spirit. That means you're doing an effort. Look what the Bible says over here in the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look here at verse 16 and 17. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5. Look here, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for they are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. He's talking about to believers. You know what that means? Chris, as a believer, you could walk in the Spirit, means being surrendered to God, allowing Him to lead your life, or you could walk in the flesh. It's, you know what I mean? Yes, we need to pray and ask the Lord to help us. We still have to make an effort, right? So Chris, here it is. Chris is praying and he's asking God to help him. But now Chris is not going to try, right? He's not going to be surrendered to God. What God's will, what God wants in his life, Chris is like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Well, when you get that way, you know what you're doing? You're walking in the flesh. You can pray all that you want. Please don't misunderstand. But if your heart's not in it, you're going to be in trouble. Amen? Why? Because your flesh. If we wouldn't have problems with this, Jenny, he would never say, walk in the Spirit. Yeah, when you get in the flesh, yeah. I mean, if every single Christian will always walk in the Spirit, God wouldn't have to put this there. Right? He would just say, Chris, you're saved and you're always going to do what's right. No. God saved us, but we still have a sin nature. And now he's saying, Chris, you need to make an effort to walk in the Spirit. Remember, he told Peter to watch and pray. Be on guard. Be on guard. You know why? Flesh, spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be on guard. The Bible tells us that the devil is a roaring lion, walking about, right? Seeking whom he may devour. When you think about it, he's out there to try to look for you and to get you. And he's just waiting for you when you get to that place and think that you can handle it all on your own. He's got you. There's the dart, right? He says, watch. That means be on guard, you know, thinking about your steps, where you're taking, right? You imagine if we all stood up here and I said, what I want every single person to do is walk to those doors, right? Most of us probably wouldn't have problems doing that, right? Some of us may have some health problems, may take us a little bit, but you came into the church, you can go out, right? And that's not a hard thing to do. Walk in the Spirit. You think about it, that doesn't sound too hard, right? Be surrendered to the Lord, ask the Lord to help. But now when you all standed up here, I took you and spun you around so many times, I put blindfolds on you, and now I'm saying, walk to the door. You know? That's going to be a little different, right? You have a sin nature, and the reality is that sin nature is trying to get you to spin around, right? That sin nature is trying to get you to look in God's way to do what is right. And what we need to do is pray, right? We need to be on guard. There's things that could trip you up at nighttime when you're walking. Through the daytime as you're walking. How many people stumble over something? My dog, well, some of us may. My dog, sometimes when she wants to play, she'll go and get these toys, right? There's like these little, I don't know what that little ball thing is. Hedgehog? Yeah, so this that's her new toy, right? Ariana got it for her. She'll bite on it, make some, like,
yeah, weird noises or whatever. But whenever my dog wants to play, she'll come, and I'll be sitting down on my chair that's there, and she'll come, and Bev, she puts her head right here on me, just like this, and looks at me, you know? And then a lot of times what she'll do is she'll come, and she'll bring that toy, hedgehog, whatever, and put it down. Sometimes she wants to play because she doesn't get anyone's attention. She'll sneak off to Ariana's room. And next thing you know, she'll go in there and she'll try to find a stuffed animal in there. And then you know what she does? She runs. And Ariana's like, what did you do? Right? She knew it, right? Sometimes Ariana puts things there just to play with her or whatever. But she, what is it? She wants to play. Now, you think about it, most times when I'm walking, it's easy. But a lot of times now, I have to be on guard. You know why? Because my dumb dog will bring all those dumb stuffed animals that she has and put them on the ground. And sometimes she'll put those other things on the ground. You got to be on guard. Grandma, did you ever step on one of her stuffed animals? Well, you'd rather not admit it, right? So, yeah, I'm telling you, that. But could you imagine at nighttime? Yeah. He tells them to watch. Walk in the Spirit is telling us we need to be on guard. We need to be on guard. Why? Because there's a devil out there that's going to try to get us out of the Spirit. There's going to be a shower that breaks that can get you out of the Spirit. There's a phone call that you're going to receive and someone gets mad at you can get you out of the Spirit. There's going to be some crazy driver that cuts you off that can get you out of the Spirit. You're going to have some customer that gets mad at you can get you out of the Spirit, right? You could have things that don't go your way to get you out of the Spirit, right? Here it is. He's telling us this. Why? We need to be on guard, but we need to make an effort. I didn't say anything about box that you could receive, right? But anyway. Yeah, well, look over here to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 30. Matthew 26, verse 30. You can still hear me? I'm still okay? All right, good. I don't need to throw any water on you. No one's asleep yet. Matthew 26. Now, as I was going through and studying this, you may have seen this too. But can I tell you, in the words that he said, I found some very encouraging words. Let's go back and read in Matthew chapter 26. Actually, verse 31 and 32 again. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. How do you think the third thing is this? Don't quit. Did you see the encouraging words that are there? So if we could go back in those days, and let's say Mark and I are one of the disciples that are there, and we hear these words, you know, Mark and I could have looked at each other and been like, Mark, we're going to offend the Lord. You know, I know they all denied it that's there, but, you know, after they could have, we could have sat after we denied him and was like, hey, we denied the Lord. But did you see the encouraging words? The Lord told him, Mark, he said, you're going to be offended of me. You're going to be scattered. But do you see what he said? But I will go before you into Galilee. I'm not going to leave you and forsake you. Just because you gave in to the flesh, just because you deny me, I'm not going to forsake you. I'll be in Galilee. I'll be waiting for you. You want to talk about encouraging words? The disciples were just told their Messiah, they are going to be offended. Peter's going to deny him. And he says, I know you're going to do this. And by the way, when I rise up, I'll be waiting for you in Galilee. I'm not forsaking you. How many times have you and I, because we have given into the flesh, we're sitting there, we pull out our hair, we get all mad, or whatever it is, and it's like, we sit there, it's like, Lord, why? I'll go before you in Galilee. He's not going to forsake you. He loves you. You know what he was telling them, Elma? I'm still going to use you, even though you're going to do these things. You think about what the Lord said there, what encouraging words. What encouraging words it is to us when we get into the flesh, knowing that God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know why? Because the devil constantly reminds you when you get into flesh, he's constantly trying to keep you there to get you to forget about the promises that God has already done. Think about it. When Jesus died on the cross and rose, Peter ran, I think it was John went with him, John outran him, ran to the tomb and looked in and saw he wasn't there. It must have been another time, because I think it was in there he said that he saw Peter or something like that. But Peter probably saw him again. Peter saw him that night that he arose. But you know what? Peter could not get over Mark what he did. That later on in John, we sing that song, Come and Dine, Master. I don't want to sing it to you. There you, thank you, right? Come and dine, right? Fish and bread and fish by the fire. You know why? Peter, in that chapter, said, looked at his fellow friends that were there, the disciples, says, hey, I go fishing. I'm going to go back to the life I was in before, because there's no way God can use me. Oh, can I tell you that flesh, that old sin nature can get us? And we can get to that place and say, God can't. No, I'm going before you into Galilee. Bob, I know what you're going to do, but I'll be there. And that old sin nature of ours gets us, be like Peter. I'm going to go back to that old life of fishing. That he met them there by the fish on the fire. They knew that it was the Lord. And the Lord said unto Peter, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Now he said to him the second time, Chris, love thou me? Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Mark, he hit home when he told him the third time, lovest thou me? I can only imagine the thoughts that came through his mind where he denied him thrice and he wept bitterly as he's still in his heart thinking, what did I do? As the Lord told him third time, lovest thou me? Oh Lord, you know I love you. And then he tells Peter, he says, Peter, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to greatly use you. And Peter, you're going to get the victory where you are going to die as a martyr and be greatly used. You know, some of us, we never get over the part we're in the flesh and we do something stupid and we forget the rest of the message. But I go before you into Galilee. He's not done with you. Don't let the devil keep on beating you up over something you did yesterday, a month ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was. The devil beating you up, you know why? Because he doesn't want you to hear the rest of the message. I go before you into Galilee. I know what you're going to do, Chris, but I'm still there. Joe, I know what you're going to do, but I'm still there. Folks, can I tell you, when you think about those words, he knew what was going to happen, but he encouraged them. It's God's desire, yes, for us to walk in the Spirit, but God also knows that flesh that we have, and there's going to be times we give in to that flesh. But he says, hey, I go before you in Galilee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Stop letting the devil beat you up. Stop letting him to continue to throw those darts. If God was done with you, he would have took you home. He's not. I go before you into Galilee. God's not done with you. Just remember that as you go about serving him this day. Let's close, get ready for the invitation. Father, thank you for this day that you have given. And Lord, I pray that you would use this invitation for your honor and your glory. We ask in Jesus' precious name.